The following podcast is a glimpse into the life of Ecclesia Houston. We pray it is a blessing as you seek to follow Jesus, the liberating King, and live in his kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven.
I'm really excited about the sermon I get to share with you. We're in a series on the rhythms. I get to talk to you about one I'm really fired up about, what it means to serve others. It could feel like a really monumental week, but can I give you a freebie before we get to the sermon and just pause and say something totally separate? You're not going to hear much from me over the fall about things political. Apparently there's an election and there's a lot of talk. My encouragement to you is to vote, is to participate, is to do your own research and engage. But every now and then I'm going to interject some things just to remind you. And on this one, I'll just tell you, you don't have to do your research. I've done it for you. Haitian people are good people. They're good people. Haitian people are very good people. And if you hear people say something different, you need to stand up and say, that is not true. I've spent more time in Haiti than most of you. I was there right after the earthquake. We've been active in Haiti for a long time. Some of the greatest people I know are Haitian people. Some of the people that embody most that part of the song, the faith of those who persevere, are Haitian people. And so what we can't participate in, Ecclesia, is anything that begins to demean other people made in the image of God. And Haitian culture, Haitian food, it's all good. If you have a Haitian neighbor, you're blessed to have a Haitian neighbor. And I hope and pray that you'll reach out to some Haitian friends and just let them know, hey, I'm standing with you. And my pastor reminded me today that I should reach out to you. And I should maybe even buy you a meal and just check on you and see how you're doing. So I get to talk to you this week about one of our rhythms. And I told you at the beginning of this series, the world, this is probably in a newsflash to most of you, the world doesn't care what we believe. We've got a beliefs page, what we believe, Ecclesia, on the website. I don't know if anybody reads it. But what I've learned is that people don't care what they believe. They care what we do. Like, okay, that you believe in God and you believe this about God. What does that lead you to do? What are the actions that grow out of that faith? And at Ecclesia, we've said these rhythms, we have these six things that we've just said, these remind us, right? To seek God and to seek beauty and to be real and to be kind. And today I get to talk to you about to serve others. And I'm kind of hoping, like, I'd like to do almost an old school invitation today, the way that my dad or my grandfather would do an invitation to, like, come get baptized, like, again or something, or rededicate, and just say, like, I want my life to be about service to others. This is at the core of what I believe about this sermon. I realized that on my way driving here from the last service, is the sense that for all of us, this is my guess. We don't know when it's going to happen, but a day's coming, and we're going to be gone from this earth, right? And people are going to gather, and they're going to say something about us. And part of what happens in those moments, I get to be in those moments often, and I get to stand there. And you know what never happens at a memorial service? People don't get up and go, she's so beautiful. He's such a good, because it just falls empty. Like, well, that doesn't matter, right? Like, by some weird standard of the world, he was successful. It just doesn't, what resonates in those moments is they go, because she lived, the world is a better place, and let me tell you why. When you go to a service like that, you're like, I want to be like that. And this is my guess, is that all of us would like to live the kind of life that at the end of it, people would say, like, the world is better because he was in it, and these are the reasons. And it would come down to, how did they serve other people? So today, I want to invite you into the best I understand about what the secret sauce is about how to serve people well. In 1 Peter, Peter talks about this, and this is what he says. He says, most of all, love each other steadily and unselfishly. What does that look like? I think it looks like service to others. Because love makes up for many faults. Hear this, Ecclesia. How many of you would go, I have many faults? Some of you will never raise your hand. No matter, the rest of you are perfect. Great, that's awesome. For the rest of us that raised our hand that have many faults, how do you make up for many faults? You love people. I'm broken, I'm imperfect, I make mistakes. Great, love people. When you love people, it covers over your faults. If you serve and you love, people go, I can look past that. I know her heart. Like, I know his heart. I see the way they love and the way they serve, right? It's this beautiful verse, and we're going to talk about this one more next week. He says, show hospitality to each other without complaint. Use whatever gift, and that's what we're going to talk about today, you've received for the good of one another. Why are you gifted? Why are you blessed? To be a blessing. So that you can show yourselves to be good stewards of God's grace in all its varieties. If you're called upon to talk, speak as though God put words in your mouth. If you're called upon to serve others, serve as though you had the strength of God behind you. Ecclesia, I have a vision and a dream and a hope that even more so over the next 25 years, that we have a community of people that just go, I'm here, I exist to serve other people and show God's love in really tangible ways. And I get up in the morning and I find meaning and purpose and beauty in all of it. So I'm going to do something for the first time in 25 years. Can you believe next week we're going to celebrate 25 years as a church? I get to celebrate 25 years as your pastor. It is mind-blowing to me, and we are going to celebrate well. I don't know about you, but how many of you just go like, my church is so good at throwing dance parties. Like, anybody just said, like, on Friday night, we are going to have a dance party in this room. If you are not signed up for it already, I think we have, do we know how many? Like close 300 people or so that are going to dance. I've got, my wife ordered for me overalls that I'm going to wear Fresh Prince style with like only one buckled. And we are going, you don't have to dress 90s, but if you have something 90s, wear it. Saturday, which is going to be a great day, we're going to have a totally awesome community day. Apparently, the only way they figured out to raise more money for our playground is to abuse our staff. So at the end of that, you can slime us. I don't know why we're doing that. I don't know who's excited about that, but apparently you can pour disgusting stuff on Mitzi and Sean and I. And by the way, I will be turning 53 on that same day, which feels really emotional. And then I get to come back and celebrate. Yeah, an old man. Clap for an old man. And then I would love for you to be here. The sermon next week, I've been praying over and thinking about. It feels like for a year. And I'm just so excited to share it with you. So I'm going to do something today that literally I have never once done in 25 years. I've preached a lot of sermons over 25 years. I have never been one. I've thought it was goofy. It's cheesy. It's odd. You should never do it to alliterate my points. And yet, by the time I had three P's, I had to make sure the fourth was a P. So they're all P's today. I got four P's for you on service. And I really do think they're the secret sauce that if you would lean towards these things, at the end of our life, we would go, that's the kind of life I wanted to live. So as we talk about what does it look like to serve others, hear this, Ecclesia. We serve others because in it we find purpose. We are made to be a people with purpose. And when you know I'm on this planet to serve others and people are counting on me and the world's better when I bring my gifts to the world, you wake up with a sense of joy and beauty that is totally different than if life is about you. And how we do that, like, is we have to begin to integrate all of our lives. So when in an integrated life, we begin to see that when I go to work, even if your work isn't particularly in that service to others, when I go to work and I earn an income and I share that portion of income to do generous things, when I give on a regular basis, and I got to tell you, one of the reasons I'm proud to be a part of our church, if you're new, you hadn't been around here, you may not know, but as you walk around, you'll find, like, it's beautiful. Like, some of you are like, I love our concrete floors. And I do too. They clean easily. They're great. They're old school. This building's been around for a long time. You know why we have concrete floors everywhere? Because it's cheap. That's why we have it, because it's cheap. And we built this building. It's beautiful, but we built it cheap. And it served, it's utilitarian. We've not spent, and for the first time in the history of 25 years, we are spending something extravagant and we're doing it for our kids. We have said, hey, listen, we have never made in those ways the kids a priority. And so we are asking to raise funds because we really think playgrounds at all three of our campuses. And by the way, our Lendale campus is the most active campus. It's the day that every day 130 kids show up that are part of a Head Start program and are getting preschool care, that people are showing up for ESL classes and technology classes and are being blessed richly, where we have social workers that are going to care for migrant kids that have crossed the border. We care about these things. They matter. And so as we give, these really beautiful things happen. But this is what I was getting to tell you. One of the things I love about what I get to participate in at a church is because we've made these buildings, which we own all three campuses at 25 years without any debt at all, that as we do that work, that we get to focus the majority of it towards ministry. So this is what happens. If you go to work and when you get paid on the 1st and the 15th, you're sharing to pool together what we do. Every miracle we're a part of, we're all a part of together. And I've been collecting these stories to celebrate our work at 25 years next week, and they just blow my mind. I'll tell you more about a story maybe you've heard of Alexandra that I met at the Venezuela border on our very first trip there. But Alexandra was getting medical care, and it was clear to the doctors that they had to amputate her leg because she had been in an accident. She had these screws going through her legs, and they'd become infected. And we just said as a church, I called back to some of you like, what should we do? And we're like, do anything we can to save her leg. And we sent her to Argentina multiple times where she received about a dozen surgeries, most recently a knee replacement, and is now actually able to jog on the leg that she would have lost that day had we not been a part of it, right? What I'm telling you is that when you go to work and you contribute to that, it gives your work purpose. This is what I would love for you to see, is that we find purpose in the service in these ways. Serve as we work because we're generous. This is what I would tell you, that you ought to find service in a planned or in an intentional way in your schedule. And part of what that means is finding a place to serve. You can be a mentor with Big Brothers, Big Sisters. You can serve on shower day. You can come and serve with the kids. I'm going to talk to you more about, at the end of the sermon, how to choose what you do. But you can find a place. You can come and you could serve with Asher over the weekend. How many briskets did we do this weekend, Asher? 20 briskets for the Harmony House barbecue, right? And we had 180-something people show up to eat brisket. And nothing says God loves you like smoked meats. I'm just telling you. I can preach a million sermons, but if you're a part of Asher's team that stays up all night smoking briskets, you have served the Lord more faithfully than I. And in that place, right, you got to find your place to serve. And then lastly, you just find spontaneous places. Sometimes, many of us know, these are the most impactful. They're just places that you run into somebody, you meet somebody, you know someone's in need, or you look at what you have in your hand. Anybody do this from time to time and you just go like, I have this. I should share this, right? And some of it comes from the hard things, right? In recent weeks, I've now sent a kid off to school. My wife, Kristen, sent her youngest off, but jobs are still keeping us many nights in different places. And many of you know that pain of like coming home to cook for yourself, right? And I'm trying to make it better. I'm looking up air fryer recipes. That's what I'm addicted to right now. I should have had a photo of this for you, but I tried bacon-wrapped hot dogs in the air fryer. I highly recommend it. But part of what you realize is they don't sell hot dog buns in like a two-pack, right? I may have eaten three. I'm not going to tell you. They do it in a 12-pack. So what do? I made all the hot dogs, and I got to bring them down to a family in my building, this really sweet dad, single dad, with two young kids, beautiful Korean kids that had never had a hot dog before, and now they think every hot dog is wrapped in bacon. They're confused. And I brought it to a homeless camp close to me. And I ended up meeting a Honduran guy that, as I wasn't just practicing my Spanish, I realized, like, I like this guy. I went back later to talk to him again. Because I realized it's a friendship. You just look at what you have. Those spontaneous moments that we serve are beautiful. It's part of what we get to do as we work in Acts. It reminds us, right? You know this. Paul says, I worked with my own two hands making tents, and I paid my own expenses and my companions' expenses as well. Paul says, this is my last gift to you, this example of a way of life, a life of hard work, a life of helping the weak, a life that echoes every day those words of Jesus our King, who said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. As you grow up, as you mature in faith, you realize this is, it is more blessed to give than you receive. As we as we age, right? How many of us wake up now on Christmas morning thinking about the gifts we're going to get? We wake up thinking about the gifts we're going to give, right? Because we find joy in giving. I got to tell you, Ecclesia, this kind of hard work life of service where Paul says, I made tents, I worked with my hands, I did extra because I wanted people to know that I cared for them, is a beautiful way to live. And it's part of what this city does well, by the way. There's a reason that migrants thrive in this city, because it's a city that respects people that work hard. So you could be from a place like Atlanta that's truly Southern and people care about what family you came from and whether you came from money. And by the way, Dallas is just South Atlanta. They still wear all the same kind of makeup. If you're from Dallas and you're mad, I don't care. I don't care. It's okay. You just acknowledge, like, we wear a little too much makeup and we do care about what family you came. This is what's great about Houston. If you work hard and you tell the truth, you do well in Houston. It's why migrants do well in Houston. Because it's a place that you can work hard and serve. And we can do that in service, and it's a gift. And Ecclesia, we find purpose in it. Secondly, your second P, it's going to keep coming. The P's are going to keep coming. It's about power. This is the thing, Ecclesia. If it's within our power, and there is so much within our power. Proverbs says it this way in Proverbs 3. Do not withhold what is good from those who deserve it. If it is within your power to give it, do it. Now, I don't know about you, but for me, this is one of the more sobering passages in Scripture. Because I look at who I am and who we are, and I realize there is almost not a problem I can imagine that we're not in a place of power to address. If our church decides that no kid in HISD should ever get up in the morning hungry and go to school hungry, we could do it. If we decide that communities should all have access to clean water and that no kid should ever drink from a river or stream, we can do it. If we decide that affordable housing and making sure that in our city people have access to a house and shelter they can afford matters, we can do it. It is within our power to do it. And Proverbs says, if it's within your power to do it, and it would be good for those who deserve it, and we would say everyone deserves, every kid deserves to have three meals a day. Every kid deserves to drink clean water. People deserve to have affordable shelter. We can go, like, then we ought to do it. And so we begin to orchestrate then our lives around how do we have the greatest impact possible for people that deserve it. Now, I got to tell you, Ecclesia, this is the kind of life that's invigorating. The culture is telling you a story. That the greatest life is consumption. The more you consume, if you have this car, if you live in this place, and if you have this, like, you're going to be, and the commercials just keep coming, right? And Deion Sanders is on, like, most of the commercials, like everyone I saw yesterday. And then he beat my team, the Baylor Bears, and I'm not buying any of his stuff. I'm not eating his fried chicken. I'm not buying his Aflac. I don't want any of that. I don't want none of it. I don't want any of Deion's stuff. Any Bears in this room? Do we have any? Like, ran it on first down, like, every time. Just keep running it until we lose the game. This is the thing. The culture will tell you, like, that's the life. And I got to tell you, it's not. You know what's a great life? Living below your means and having an extra margin for radical generosity. You wake up every day and know you're participating in things that truly matter in the world. That's a great life. That's a great life. Living at the edge, living in debt, extending yourself beyond to try to project something into the world. Driving a vehicle to impress someone, not just to get from one place to the other. Isn't it amazing that a guy like Warren Buffett, who's a billionaire, still drives a super old car, and some of us are trying to look cool buying a new car? And that guy's like, I got the money. He just says, like, a car takes you from one place to the other. Like, why would I don't understand. Together, as we begin to do what we could do, it's within our power to do something good if we buy into this idea that God has made us to find purpose and beauty, and that's within our power. Thirdly, and this is the hard one, but it's the good one. Your service of how you serve others is likely to be born of pain. The place you will serve best is in the places that you have hurt. Rick Warren says it well when he says, your greatest ministry will likely flow out of your deepest pain. If you know what it's like to lose your job and file for bankruptcy, you'll be able to be an encouragement to someone in that place. If you know the pain of depression and you lean in with a friend or a neighbor who's suffering and you can say, I know what it feels like to feel like you're getting pulled down in quicksand and you can't find your way out. I've been there and I have hope. It's a beautiful thing. It's out of that place. If you've had a miscarriage, you are uniquely equipped to care for a sister that has also suffered similarly. I have a dear friend in college, Drew, and Drew's a nut. He's an absolute nut. And Drew he's a beautiful man. But he came this close to just losing everything in his life because of a sexual addiction. And it brought him to such lows that when he finally found his way, he was so grateful. And he ended up going back to school to become a therapist. And now he spends day and night helping people get out of sexual addiction. And you know why he does it so well? Because he knows the pain of it. He knows the cost of it. He can empathize in a way that nobody else can. And I'm so proud. And literally, if you're walking in a similar space, like you don't have to say anything. Just come and tell me, like, give me Drew's number. Like, and Drew, he got the gift because he's been there. Wherever you have hurt, that's likely the place that God is going to use you the most. Be ready for it. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 puts it this way. Paul reminds us, he consoles us as we endure the pain and hardship of life so that we may draw from his comfort and share it with others in their own struggles. For even as his suffering continues to flood over us through the anointed, we experience the wealth of his comfort just the same. If we are afflicted with such trouble and pain, then know that it is that you might ultimately experience comfort and salvation. If we experience comfort, it is to encourage you so that you can hold up while you endure the same sufferings we share. What's Paul saying? He's saying your suffering, like Christ's suffering, can be and is redemptive if you use it to serve others. And for most of us, I didn't want to hurt. I would like to spend my life eating chocolate cake, but you don't learn anything that way. You learn from pain. You learn from sorrow. C.S. Lewis explains it this way. He says, we can ignore even pleasure, right? Pleasure's beautiful. I'd like more of it. But he says, we can ignore it, but pain insists on being attended to, right? Anybody have the kind of pain that's like, I'm trying to get your attention. And we go through places in life where pain gets our attention. Lewis explains, God whispers to us in our pleasures. He reminds us, right? God's good. I'm good. I love you. He speaks in our conscience, but he shouts in our pains. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. Now, this is the place where we go, like, I'd prefer not to be deaf. Like, the best way to learn, by the way, is to learn from the mistakes of others. That's the best way to learn. But some of us, anybody here be like, I've been a little stubborn. Like, I often have to learn the hard way. I have to learn through my own pain. And that's just a part of who we are. The best thing that we can do once we've experienced that pain is say, now I'm going to allow that pain to be a blessing to others. And maybe lessen their pain just a little. Lastly, and this may be the most important one in all of it, as you think about ways that you could serve Ecclesia, this is not intended to be something that is painful. What I would love for you to see you do is to design a life where you serve out of your passion. You serve out of things that you love. Again, if you love smoking meat, do it unto the Lord on Asher's Meat Ministry. We call him the minister of meats around here. If you love hospitality, if you love kids, come serve with the kids. Even if you don't, like there are some of you here that maybe you spend your life with your own kids and you don't need to do that. There are some of us that forget, like little people are charming. They're beautiful. They're smart. And you go spend some time with them and you're like, I need to be around little people more. You will benefit from it. Find those places and you go like, I'm passionate about this. This feels good. I'm made for this. In Romans, Paul explains that, and he uses more spiritual language. He talks about spiritual gifts, but your spiritual gift is often the thing that you're naturally good at, that you've been made for, you've been gifted for, and thus is a passion, and the things that are easier we do well. He says, for in the same way that one body has so many different parts, each with different functions, we too, the many, are different parts that form one body in the anointed one. Each one of us is joined with one another, and we become together what we could not be alone, since our gifts vary depending on the grace poured out on each of us. It is important that we exercise the gifts we've been given. So what are you good at? What do you do? If prophecy is your gift, it's a big word, but prophecy means part of what I'm doing today. It's not predicting the future. It's about telling you, Walter Brueggemann would say, a great Old Testament theologian, that the prophets paint a picture of the world as it is and the world as it should be. And they call us into the tension to say, we can make it better, right? He said, that's your gift, then do it. If service is your gift, serve. If teaching is your gift, then teach well. If you've been given a voice of encouragement, anybody here, you're just naturally good at encouraging. There is no one in the world that like, I have been too encouraged. Have you ever met somebody that you're like, I have too many encouragers in my life? If you have an encourager in your life, you're like, oh gosh, I can't wait to be around them. Right? They just remind you like, hey, it's going to be okay. Hey, you're really good at this. Hey, you're really loved. Like, thanks for this. You want to be around people that encourage you. If you have that gift, please use that gift. If giving is your gift, right, then give, then be generous, then be eager to get started. On and on, this isn't an exhausted list. There are more things we can do. If sharing God's mercy, then be cheerful in sharing it. What does he mean, sharing God's mercy? If you're able to be patient and kind and merciful. One of the things I've learned as I try to help care for my father-in-law, who's in an assisted living facility, is that just to get to his apartment, I have to walk by 15 people that are dying to talk to me. And by talk to me, I mean sit down and have a cup of coffee with them, right? And now I can't be a jerk because they know I'm a pastor, but it will take me hours to get to his apartment because literally, if you have the gift of mercy, there are people in this city at hospitals. I've told people from the beginning of the church, I'll buy you a meal if you go to Ben Taub and sit in the cafe, the cafeteria at Ben Taub. Buy a cup of coffee at the little McDonald's. And if you don't find someone in desperate need of love and encouragement, I'll buy you a meal at Papa's Steakhouse. I swear to you, I will. You know why I will? Because you won't. You go into Ben Taub and you'll be surrounded by people that are like, if you offered to buy them a cup of coffee and listen to them for 5 minutes, it would be the best thing that happened to them that day. You can change the hospital. Go to MD Anderson. Sit in the cafeteria, look for someone, offer to buy them a cup of coffee, and if you don't have a God experience, I'll buy you a steak. And if you're a vegetarian, I'll buy you 2 steaks. And I'll eat both of them. I'm just telling you, all around you, there are people, and you know what happens? I guarantee you, if some of you did this week, and you went to Ben Taub, you would write to me and you'd say, it's the best thing I've done in months. You just show up with $2, buy a cup of coffee, and listen. It'd be the best thing that you did. Ecclesia, you know why? Because we're not made for this culture where we consume. We're made to serve. We're made to love. And when we do it well, we have meaning and purpose in all that we do. My hope and prayer for you, and my hope and prayer for our church, is that we would just be those people. It's not rocket science. None of us have to be perfect. In fact, what did Peter tell us at the beginning of it? If you're flawed, it's okay. That kind of love covers a multitude of flaws. Quit trying to be perfect and just serve others in your imperfections. And in that place, I promise you, we'll make an impact on the city and the world in a way that we go, hey, that's part of something. I'm glad to be a part of that. Go over to Lindale. And just sit there and meet some of the sisters or brothers that are taking an ESL class. Ask them their story. We get to have 5 sisters share with us that have all come as migrants to Houston, that have gone through both the ESL class and the technology class, and are getting Microsoft certifications and are working and serving. And I can tell you, as a church, you've made an impact on them in the ways that you have welcomed them, whether you realize it or not. And if you went over there, you'd be like, I'm glad that I'm a part of things that matter.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. If you would like more information, please visit our website at www.ecclesiahouston.org.